You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Darren Haper. He's talking to me from Ohio. Darren, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Darren, let's talk about what's happening in your studio at the moment. What's going on in your studio in Ohio?
Well, currently, I just finished up a series for a show in Columbus. That was a couple weeks ago, the opening for that. Currently working on another show that's opening May 3rd, a solo show in Dayton at the Dana L. Wiley Gallery. And then I've also got a two-person show in Seattle in June. So things are kind of busy right now in the studio.
Well, that's pretty exciting. I mean, let's get into all the work in a moment, but how do you account for having so many shows? That's really exciting. You're jamming along there. Not many artists have
yeah.
shows going at once. What happened?
Right. I don't know what happened. Last year, the shows were kind of sparse, and this year it all just came together 3 months in a row. So, yeah, sometimes it just happens that way.
And you're applying for shows, or these are places you're represented by? How did it all come about?
Yeah, the Columbus, the Art Access Gallery in Columbus, I'm represented by, and she wanted to do a three-person show with three artists, friends of mine, from Dayton. So that show kind of evolved. We were thinking that was going to be later in the summer, but then she's like, well, we've got an opening in April, so I'm like, all right, let's do it. The Dana L. Wiley Gallery, that show came about. It's kind of a brand new gallery in Dayton, looking to be kind of the premier gallery in Dayton. And they're trying to fill the year with artists. And so they approached me for a show in June, or in May, sorry. And then the show in Seattle was with Gallery 110. And kind of out of the blue, an artist contacted me through email and somehow found my work somewhere, website or Instagram. And she was like, I love your work. Let's do a show together. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Let's do it. So she set it all up, and I just basically have to ship the work out to them, and it's ready to go.
So let's talk about what's happening at some of these shows. Which one should we talk about first? Maybe the solo show.
Sure.
That's coming up. So how many pieces will be in that, and what's the scope of that show?
So I've got eight, possibly nine pieces. They're all paintings. I paint on, it's like a synthetic paper. It's called Yupo. And it's a multimedia approach. I'm using acrylic and oil and spray paint and graphite and gel medium and printing and all kinds of stuff on it. And the paintings themselves are medium size, sort of 48 by 60 range. And then I've got one large 60 by 96 that's going to be in the show. Yeah, and
60 by 96
hang
next
week.
Huge.
Yeah.
So part of the reason, I mean, let's talk about that paper, because I've talked to some artists about that before, that UPO paper, Y-U-P-O,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Which is almost like a, almost like Tyvek, right? Almost like that house wrap. It's a kind of a synthetic paper that's really durable. Is that correct? Or no?
It is. It's quite durable. It never buckles. It doesn't matter how much wet media you throw on it. It'll never warp. The media just kind of lays on the surface as opposed to like a rag paper where it's soaked in. So you can get some really interesting marks and patterns and things happening on the surface. And it pretty much accepts most all media. A lot of artists use it for watercolor and alcohol-based inks. But I've kind of attacked it with just about everything you can think of. Oil acrylic, spray paint, graphite. It takes these rubbings, like you can put textured pieces behind the paper and get these really cool rubbings off the surface of it. So that's sort of incorporated into my work.
And then what happens with like it's a huge piece? Do you stretch these? Is that what happens to the final work?
No, I don't stretch them. I mount them on a panel, which the panel is then cradled on another wooden substrate, and then it's hung that way. So it's sort of glued down, mounted with an archival glue, and there's no stretching involved with that.
Ah, so it's mounted on board, and the board is in a frame?
It's not framed. It's mounted on a panel. But the panel has a wooden cradle on the back of it, so it looks like a wrapped canvas, but it's a wooden back.
Huh. Okay, I'm always curious about like that medium and different mediums that people are using. So let's talk about the content. So what's happening in these? There's both figurative and abstract elements, right? Cartoonish like elements, feels like narratives, but also they're abstract. Is that what's happening in the solo show?
Yeah, my work lately has sort of, I mean, it's kind of evolved over the last couple of years. I really got inspired just watching my kids when they were like 5, 6 years old, and the doodles and the drawings that they would create. It was really effortless on their part. It's like they sit down and it just comes out of them. Where I feel like I struggle sometimes to come up with ideas and inspiration. It just like flows freely from them, and they don't even think about it when they're drawing. And I've collected over the years, you know, all these little drawings of little characters and things, and parts of them I'll kind of extract and use in my painting sometimes. But other times I'll take maybe a couple of components, maybe the eyes and the mouth, and kind of create my own cartoon image. You know, growing up, I was really into drawing, you know, cartoon characters. And so getting back to that has kind of been really exciting and freeing for me.
So you're getting back to by getting back to it, meaning you're getting back to what you did when you were younger, or you're getting back to the influence that your children initially gave you that you were just speaking of?
Yeah, a little of both. You know, trying to capture that free flow of ideas that you had when you were a child before you learned all the rules about art. And,
right.
You know, they kind of beat it out of you in college.
Right.
And so just trying to get back to that sort of simple kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. The free flow. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something that kids have. I also have a kid who's grown up now, you know, a teenager, but I remember just getting out of school or a few years out of school, and I told the mother I'd like to, you know, teach a kid how to paint, or paint with her kid, really. I don't teach, you know, the kid was like 5 or something. And we just started doing finger painting together. I gave him some paint,
yeah.
And I started finger painting. He started finger painting, and I wanted to be influenced by him. You know, I was doing black and white work constantly, and I was like, get some color into it, but I was like afraid or something. And, you know, I have a BFA and everything, and I remember painting with him. Like, he's doing his own thing, and he says, "Can I use my feet?" And I was like, "Wow, yeah, sure. I don't see why not." And then he's doing it, and I'm working on my own thing. And then he stops and he says, "Oh, I like what you're doing. That's nice." And then I stopped and I realized, geez, I'm still like in my own ego here, you know, like looking at my own art, like trying to make art still.
Right, exactly. And like, they don't try. It's just like it just comes out of them, and they're just so creative and so, you know, it's amazing to watch, really.
Right, it is. So, okay, so that's a huge influence from you, and that makes sense, you know, looking at the imagery. So that some of the imagery you have, and maybe just to talk about how you approach your work, because there's cartoonish images in it, there's images that look like they're symbols or could be decoded, but, you know, you're not 5 years old, so we can't really approach this even like we're 5 or undo it all.
Right, but, exactly.
So how do you approach it? Do you have ideas when you approach it? Do they just kind of, do you have a dialogue with it, or what's happening, especially in the solo show? Because I'd imagine all those pieces have kind of a thread to some degree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. So typically how I work, you know, in college they tried to force me to sketch all my ideas, and I just hated sketching because I've already got my ideas developed in my head. And all I need to do is is get them out. And if I'm sketching, to me, that's, you know, taking away from actually doing the actual piece. So typically I have pretty much a good idea of what each of these pieces is going to kind of look like at the end. But I don't let that sort of influence the way I approach it. At the beginning of each of these paintings, it's really sort of a frantic. I work on the floor, so it's a lot of the loose, kind of flowy, watery, watered down look to the background is done in that phase. So it's just kind of like this manic, kind of quick, not thinking about what's going on, where I'm putting the marks. And then the imagery kind of builds out of that, but I've already got the image developed in my head and I know what I want it to look like. But those marks kind of influence the direction as well, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So you have an idea of where it's going, in a sense, whether there's going to be two or three or four figures in it, or even could you say the message of it? I mean, I understand that it evolves as you begin making marks, but mm-hmm. is there a message or a narrative that you start with? Because you said you do have an idea of what you're getting into when you start, as opposed to just, you know, attacking a blank piece of yuppo.
Right.
Is there an idea?
Yeah, I mean,
when you talk about ideas,
I've got
what do you mean?
Sort of an overall arching, you know, idea. I'm sort of infusing a lot of sort of pop culture ideas, sort of like, you know, the excess in our culture and the needing to be liked all the time. So a lot of these sort of cartoony characters kind of take on those roles. You really have to spend time, because I kind of embed imagery throughout. And if you just look at it for 5 seconds, you're not going to pick up everything that's going on. I want the viewer to kind of take their time and kind of just stand there and kind of take it all in, because there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of imagery, and the title even that I come up with for each of these kind of feeds into the narrative of each of the paintings.
Well, there's a whole series you have called Cyclops, right? A lot of the past works, or I mean, I don't know if that's something that's always developed in parallel, but that seems over a few years. All the paintings that appeared to have one eye, you pulled out and made a separate field for on your website. Is that because there is this Cyclops series that you work on, that's separate from...
There was a Cyclops series. I did probably 12 paintings in this series. It was actually influenced by a drawing that my son did when he was 5 of a Cyclops. And I really liked the eye and the mouth shape that he drew. And so I kind of pulled those out and created my own character from it. But usually when, I don't know, it comes to a point where, like, it feels like the series has resolved and it's complete, and I just move on to something else. I can't.
Sure.
It's hard for me to stick with the same kind of imagery over and over and over for hundreds and hundreds of paintings, like some artists are able to do. At some point, either boredom or something sets in, and I'm like, I need to move on to something else. And the Cyclops series was actually done on canvas, so that was prior to switching over to the yupo. So it's a totally different feel, really.
And I think I should ask you, what did your son think of the paintings? Because your son's painting a Cyclops, right, which is just a great character, right? And I can imagine him painting it. It's such a fascinating kind of monster for kids. Then you get influenced. You're, in a sense, like copying him. You're doing the images. What did he say about your work? I mean, I know it's a child then, but was there a dialogue there? Was he looking at your work?
Oh, yeah. I'll take my kids down to my studio occasionally. And sometimes I even let them kind of make their own mark in the painting somewhere. Like, you know, I'm like, I give them something to draw or paint or spray or something. I'm just like, you know, go do something on it. I don't tell them what to do. I just want to see what they come up with. So sometimes he'll like draw a little hand grenade up in the corner or something of a painting, and you know, spray paint something down in the left. But it's kind of fun to involve them sometimes in the process. But every time he sees an image that he's drawn in the past in one of my paintings, he'll point it out and be like, I drew that, you know.
That's great. You know, I'm always really interested in like how artists raise kids and the things that can happen when you're exposed to what you just described, coming into your father's studio and, you know, it not being a place of kind of, you know, reverence for all of these works, but you can touch them, you can paint on them, you can, you know, talk about them. Do you mind me asking what your son's interest became? Is he into the arts? Was that part of what he grew into?
Well, he's only 9, so he's not too much older than what he was when. I have a daughter who's 12 and a son who's 9. My daughter, she is very much into art still. She's kind of in the phase where she's making her own kind of manga type characters now. And my son still draws a lot too. His mind is more, I think, in the engineering math kind of, which I'm not at all, you know, but they're both still very creative.
Well, it's great talking to you about this. And let me just ask you one more thing before I ask you the last question about what you're reading. I wanted to ask, in the upcoming shows, there'll be links to these shows in this interview so people can find out more or attend them. But is there anything else you want to mention about those shows or mention about anything that I haven't asked before I ask you the last question?
I mean, I'm pretty excited about the shows. I've never had 3 shows in 3 months before, so you know, preparing for them has been not really stressful, but it's been fun because it's actually, I work best under pressure. So if there's a deadline or something, I'm, you know, that's when my creativity really kicks in and I can really focus. But I'm pretty excited about them, yeah.
Darren, what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what people are reading, if it's whatever it is.
Well, actually, I just finished a book. It's called The Giver, and we kind of read it with our kids. It's a Newbery Award book, so it's geared more towards, you know, kids. But it's a pretty interesting book. They made a movie out of it, and then we watched the movie, and we're kind of disappointed with the movie. But the book was really interesting.
Darren, I want to thank you for talking with me today, and congratulations on your upcoming shows.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.